Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the Matchball Podcast from us lot, the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me, Michael Normanson.
Hello.
Moscow White's here as well. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
And we're back here again. Sick of it, lads. Leeds winning every bloody week. Before we get into that, quick mention for Levi Solicitors as well, who are behind the podcast. 10% off your legal fees when you mention us, when you inquire. Go to our direct landing page, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Another win. This is all getting a little bit giddy now, isn't it? Hey,
we're not just winning. Other results. Mm. It was a near perfect evening.
I almost could have done with us not winning that.
Look at the fucking table, for God's sake.
I was looking at the table during the game because I saw that Preston were beating Fulham and that Keith Stroud was up to all sorts of nonsense in that one.
His usual nonsense, or?
He was all over the farmyard in this.
Cards everywhere, mental.
And I said to Phil Hay, who I was sitting next to, I said, this feels like it's last year's Wigan game, but in December, that if we don't take advantage of this, I'll feel like we're not going up this season. but if we do win, then I think we're promoted and it's done. We're all good.
Oh, shit.
We're absolutely fine. But that's so, obviously not how I feel now, even though we are 11 points clear of third place.
It's so true, though. Emotions constantly resting on a knife edge. That's what Leeds has done to us.
I had that feeling that if we had that chance to go 11 points clear and we didn't take it, that it might be like that would be a significant blow, which it shouldn't be because we'd still be, what, 8 points clear, even if we'd lost. And if we'd drawn, we would have been 9 points clear. So it's still, everything still would have been okay. But it just had that feel like if we can't beat Hull in this situation, it's going to have that slight Wigan feeling. But now we did beat them and now I don't know what to do with myself.
I think just enjoy it a little bit if we can. But it never stops. It's going to be a relentless season. It's going to be like this all season. Even if we're 20 points clear, we're still not going to rest, are we, after what happened last season? And do you know what? We're probably in the long run going to be better for it because there'll be no taking our foot off the gas or thinking, hey, we're home and hosed now, lads. Bloody hell, because I don't want a repeat of that last season.
I feel like 10 points clear at this stage of the season is Kevin Keegan territory, isn't it? That's one. Let's all start celebrating.
Stop it.
We're not even 10 points clear, are we? Sorry.
11.
11 points clear. Jesus.
Well, let's just have a look back through the game then, because it wasn't a great game. I think it was fairly crap all round. There were loads of misplaced passes. Everyone seemed to have like sort of two or three touches, then lose it.
It was very, very wet and windy in their defence. If you weren't in Leeds for the game tonight, it really was awful. But yeah, there was some bad football on show as well.
Loads and loads of nice, sort of semi-nice moves, but then it'd break down with the final ball or just that final decision. And having spent like one of the previous podcasts recently praising Costa's decision-making all over the place tonight, all of them. But I thought Costa was lively actually tonight. He's starting to look like a really handy player.
I thought Costa was brilliant. And I think all that was really wrong in attack, it wasn't as bad as we've had on some occasions where we're like, the final ball is terrible and we're missing. I think it was just slightly wrong decisions. We were pulling back when we should have crossed and we were crossing when we should have pulled back. And that was kind of just trying to get that synced up and work out exactly what the right option was. Costa he was doing this on Saturday against Huddersfield. His ability to, when everybody else thinks the ball's going out for a goal kick, to just get there and whip it across or just do something with it from the byline is really useful.
He plays to the extremities of the pitch, doesn't he, on all sides?
Yeah. He absolutely does. And I am starting to like him quite a lot. I thought he was very good tonight, even if he didn't particularly lay a perfect final ball on. But, you know, that came.
Well, it sort of all kicked into life. It's similar sort of Leeds pattern, sort of 15 or 20 minutes of not quite knowing exactly how this is going to unfold. And then 20 minutes, that first good chance, you know, when he cut inside and he was threaded through in the channel and he should have probably scored, I would have said, on balance. And that kind of started it off. And we had a good spell, I thought, in the first half then after that.
I thought, weirdly, we were better in the first half than the second half. And second half, we lost control of it. First half, I actually felt fairly comfortable. It's like, we'll keep playing like this. Eventually, we'll carve out a chance and the goal will come. Then the second half started and it all went a bit mental. They seemed to have brought Bowen inside a bit. They just seemed to say to him, like, basically, just go wherever the ball is because we need you to do something. And he was doing some stuff. Although we defended against him very well, for the most part, I would say.
We did. We had him under that much control in the first half that he started, he was defending at right back for some of it, which is not where you want your most, well, you, I suppose they got Grosicki as well. But yeah, Grosicki did pretty much nothing most of the game. Bowen was very quiet first half, and then the second half he started to roam a little bit. I don't know if Stuart Dallas ever fully had full control of him, but then, you know, he's not a right back, so I don't know how much he should be expected to have a left back, even whichever side of the pitch he was playing.
But we tend to play a sort of man to man a lot of the time, don't we, under Bielsa? Was Dallas the man who was sticking closest to him? Because I didn't really notice.
Yeah, and he did well first half, but then second half when Bowen started going and swapping wings and stuff, I think he may have had a reminder at half time that he's supposed to be their best player and he should probably better start showing it. And he did get quite dangerous, but Berardi all night was not going to let any of those little fuckers score, and that was
it was great tonight.
He was absolutely brilliant tonight. I know we are accused sometimes on this podcast of being too much fans of Berardi, but tonight he was absolutely immense. Just me and Michael both, as we were driving up here, mentioned towards the end of the game where he ran up for a header above their striker, and before he'd hit the floor, he somehow managed to volley it down the pitch. He was just that committed to everything, and he won everything. Really careful with his decisions, which is surprising when you see him sort of like see a bouncing ball from 40 yards and set off sprinting towards it. You don't think that the end result of that is going to be a careful, powerful clearance, but yeah, he was brilliant.
I thought what was quite funny was that Hull should probably have scored before both our goals, and they didn't, and we did, which I liked, because I've got it jotted down, 57, Hull should have scored, but I've got no further notes than that. I can't remember exactly what happened. And then 59 minutes, we were denied, weren't we? Sorry, no, beg your pardon. No, we did get the ball in the net on 59 minutes, but we were denied by that offside flag.
Was it offside?
I think so, yeah. It was Harrison who was offside in the build-up by the looks of it.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah,
that doesn't play into my theory that we're being cheated.
He shouldn't have been offside in that position. He should have stayed offside.
No, it looked like he had a full view across the line. Jackie was not quite up to his usual recent standards today.
I think he looked a bit, I mean, he came off, he looked tired. And Click going down with cramp, I think there's an element of...
Is that real though with Click? That's the thing. He's very professional.
Oh, he did some splendid bits towards the end, just in their technical area when he was on the floor, when he went down like he'd been attacked. And then I think he started flicking the bird at their bench.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Excellent. Tweets seem to suggest it, yeah.
I got the feeling it was genuine because I watched them getting... they were going to bring on Baz Dog, and I don't think it was going to be for Click. And then when Click went down, they shouted for Pascal Stroik. And I don't know... I didn't think he could have been running any faster to get ready, but Marcelo Bielsa yelled at him and he went like an absolute rocket into the dugout, like, woof, shit, sorry, Bielsa. And it must be, yeah, coming on when you're, however old he is, like 21-year-old, and you've got Marcelo Bielsa bollocking you because you're not getting your bib off fast enough. He went... It was like somebody lit him and he went like a firework into the back of the dugout to get his socks on.
What I will say is that I think they started doing bits. About an hour into this game, they started looking really dangerous in the middle portion of the second half. And it could have probably gone either way at that point, I think, if they'd have just nicked one of those chances. But then we scored at just the right time. What was it? Was it 73 minutes?
Yeah, you could... From half-time until that point, it was getting... just before this, the crowd had been singing "Get into them, fuck them up,"
yeah, which you can always tell. I've written it down. Yeah, 71 minutes.
You could always tell that that's when things are going a little bit awry, and it was just kind of Bowen making things a little bit dangerous, and a few things at the back. We just couldn't get out. We had them penned in for most of the first half, and then second half, the first sort of 20 minutes or so, we were struggling to get out. But we do now seem to be getting better at counter-attacking, which has been the problem when we were not putting chances away earlier in the season, was because we're just putting so much pressure on teams all the time and making chance after chance and not finishing it. And if we see now Huddersfield game and then both goals in this are just real fast breakaway attacks from letting the other team, and we've profited from them putting us under pressure.
The games that we have dropped points in, it's when it's got away from us a little bit, like it started doing tonight, which is kind of when you start to get a bit twitchy. But like you say, we just went up the other end and scored. Worth pointing out that we went 1-0 up with zero shots on target, and then we were 2-0 up with one shot on target.
In some ways, it's a shame we scored that second goal, because it'd have been quite nice to win a game with no shots on target.
I'd happily take the second, to be honest. It needed it, just to settle the game.
Yeah, it made the remaining 10 minutes or whatever was left, although the 6 minutes injury time, weren't there? But yeah, it made the remaining 15 or whatever nice and comfortable. It was like, we can all just enjoy this now. And then after with the second, they didn't threaten at all, did they? I think they knew that it was up, in particular as Berardi was... still, even though he's carrying an injury by this point, was still not letting anyone pass.
I think it was at 2-0 that he did his flying header then kick combination, and probably while carrying an injury as well. Who did score their goal? Who did it go in off?
Device.
Was that a mobile phone?
Mm, yes.
Some kind of device? Because I thought it was the goalkeeper from my view, but the device was not the goalkeeper.
No,
it was a cross, and he slid in, and it was very fortunate. He had no...
Did it hit the goalkeeper first?
No.
Keeper got a hand to it, trying to save it, but it did go in the line off.
I need a replay of this goal at some point, clearly.
It was just that typical, that move that we'd done so many times, which was the 1-2 down the byline, cut back.
I mean, I saw all that stuff.
There's an enjoyable pass from Pablo. It's through to Costa.
It's the corridor of uncertainty. Pop it in there, as Dave Williams, who's tweeted us to point this out, it's the corridor of uncertainty. Again, you put it in there, something's going to happen.
How many own goals is that this year? Four
or five or something. Yeah, something like third top scorer now is Oggy. Yeah.
It is a great pass from Pablo. And then, I see, right. Yeah, hits the defender then in off the goalkeeper. That's why I was going confused. Pablo, I could only see it going in into the net off the keeper.
Pablo had a strange game today. Until that pass, I was getting quite annoyed with him. He gave it away an awful lot.
He was very sloppy, wasn't he? He's had a couple of games like that recently, but you know he's always got that pass in him. That's the thing.
He was getting annoyed with a lot of other people as well. He wasn't very happy with the referee from the start. But I thought the referee was all right. He was a bit annoying. He loved a little play on, didn't he? Loved us. I was going to see it and then...
But then again, there was that one in the first half when Ayling was breaking away and he pulled it back. So.
And once he got the measure that was kind of what he was going to do, then it was, you pretty much worked him out, and he seemed to get most things right.
I thought he let Tom Eaves get away with quite a bit up front for them. He seemed to, that's their big sort of Andy Carroll tribute they had up front. He was just, every time the ball was forward, which I know is what a lot of strikers do, but he was doing the thing where they put both hands behind to grab the defender's shirt, and he never once picked up on that. Which was, I think refs should probably be a bit more aware of this sort of thing going on.
Especially when they do it to Leeds players. If we do it, it's fine.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Bamford wouldn't do that, though. Bamford's a nice boy.
Eves did give Ben White a little smack on the face as well. I couldn't work out whether it was deliberate or not, but Ben was walking around kind of feeling the inside of his mouth for a while.
The exaggerated I've been hit gesture.
when they do the fake check for blood, even when there's been... very little contact with the refs. I'm looking at it. Oh God, I can't believe I'm. Can't believe I'm not bleeding to death after what's just occurred.
Why do you think I'm doing this, referee? What do you think has happened?
And a word on Bamford. Immense run. Have you seen the run that he made? So you know, Kiko saves it off up at the other end, and Bamford is the one who gets the touch there. And if you watch him, he starts strolling out in that way, that sort of languid way Bamford does, until he hits the 18-yard box, and he sees we're breaking, and he puts the accelerators on then. And he's the one who gets the shot off that hits the post.
Doesn't score, though, does he?
No.
I mean, Eddie would have finished that, I'm just saying.
However, he did kick the goalkeeper in the head.
Yes, he nearly kicks Kiko in the head at our end, doesn't he? And then he's obviously got the taste for goalkeeper at that point. So.
But I mean, to run the full length of the pitch, 81 minutes in, is pretty bloody good
going.
Just
the same as Jack Harrison the other week. He cleared it in the the left back position, didn't he? And then bombed into the box and scored a goal for us.
Yeah, I don't know why you're expecting us to be impressed by Pat doing something that Jackie Harrison's done several times before. No, it was good. It was great. And I am very, very pleased. I'm looking forward to seeing the whole City Tigers take on their goalkeeper being kicked to death so that Alioski can shoot into an open net.
I can't imagine anybody being more annoyed or more annoying in terms of being on the receiving end of that than Alioski scoring past you when your keeper has been booted in the face.
By Pat Bamford.
In the face! It's brilliant. Apparently on the whole commentary tonight, they were saying midfield that Click
yes.
and Bamford were both passengers. They were describing them as.
I mean, no. Bamford is like what he is now. Bamford will still, you know, presented with a brilliant opportunity like that, he'll hit the post, but he's Rambo now. It doesn't matter. His game is not about goals. His game is running out onto the pitch, smearing mud on his face, kicking goalkeepers in the head so other people can score.
And adjusting his fringe.
Their number five wanted to kill him pretty much from the start of the match. I'm perfectly happy with Pat's. What are we going to call him? Ramboford? Ramboford?
We'll work on it.
Okay. Anyway.
What did he do? I think it was Device who scored the own goal, actually. He was really annoyed with Bamford right at the start of the second half, and it wasn't at all clear why.
Yeah, he'd rattled him. My mate messaged me saying that Bamford's rattled Device, but I didn't see what was going on.
He seemed to take real exception. Bamford won a free kick, and he was furious about it for some reason.
There wasn't much in it, but yeah, he then had a big strop, like walking away from the referee and refusing to come back and accept his talking to.
Mate, I don't know, maybe you flashed him some land registry documents or something like that. Look at all this that I've got. What have you got? Nothing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you think Hull will be happy with that one tonight then?
No, which is good.
I enjoy that we're pissing everybody off on the way to promotion. It's nice.
There's no way for Leeds United to get promoted that won't piss people off though, is there? I mean, let's face it, if every victory we had was pure and there was nothing controversial and we played fairly and we deserved to win every game, people would still find reason to be annoyed.
Do you know what we need to do after that match? We need to sign Jared Bowen. I'm not even sure he was that good. Like, I didn't look at him tonight and think...
I thought he had some nice tricks.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Maybe in a better team, he'd stand a better chance. But whether we need him or not, let's just buy him just to annoy him.
I'd be up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice or, cut price deal, yeah.
At the very least... Dan James him in January and almost buy him so he's not asked about playing for Hull anymore.
Dan James him.
Just get him to sit in the East Stand for 12 hours.
In the cold.
We'd do some photos and that. Mess with his head, yeah.
Some photos of him in a Leeds kit, but then not actually buy him.
So for the benefit of anybody who wasn't there tonight then, what was the atmosphere like inside Elland Road?
It was nervy. I think we referred to that get into them, fuck them up chance. It never reached particularly like annoyed levels at any point. It was interesting that after we'd gone one up, we then had another attack that broke down. I think it was Costa and Bamford. And the reaction to that was kind of, was quite angry, as if it's like, why haven't we immediately scored another goal? So you could feel maybe what I was, I don't know how many people in the stadium were aware of what Fulham and Preston were doing, but you could, it did have that vibe, but we need to get this done. And it had to be like, Hull aren't great. Hull aren't good enough to be beating us, especially when we're in the form that we're in and we're 11 points clear at the top of the league. So it was a night when we needed to just get that fucker won.
At some point I heard someone shout, this is fucking shit, Leeds. And I thought, it's not really, is it? It's not as good as we sometimes are, but like, let's get a bit of perspective. We are top of the league. I think we were one up at the time. Or potentially, no, maybe it was just before we scored, actually. Be like, look, this is not, this, unless this is your first game since like the year 2000, this is not shit. There's been shit, and this is fine. This is us top of the league trying to break a team down. And
I think that's maybe just, obviously it's a symptom of the nerves, but also it's that loss of control as well, because we control so many games, and even when we're not playing great, we still control the tempo and the style of the game. And I think there were just moments tonight when that, like I said earlier on, it just got away from us just a little bit, and those are the games where we drop points.
As we said though, weirdly, I don't think the goals we've scored today, if we have complete control of the game, those two goals aren't scored, because they've never got that many men forward for us to be able to counter-attack. The thing with the points we dropped early in the season against Swansea and Forest and Derby were that they just put 10 men in the 18-yard box for the entire match and then managed to snatch something from it. Whereas Hull actually had a bit of a go and played right into our hands.
I think what that tells me, to put a really positive spin on it, is that we are dangerous in so many different situations. Because you can't look at the... All right, so the first half, the decision-making wasn't perfect, so we didn't carve out, we didn't manage to get that shot on goal that we wanted. But you can't look at the pressure that we put Hull under for big, long stretches of time in the first half and say that we weren't battering them and we had them penned in. So we tried that. We tried that thing of keeping them back, and we were not creating clear-cut chances, because obviously we didn't get this mythical shot away. But not many teams could withstand us just crossing the ball into their box from side to side constantly. And if it goes, you know, if it runs too far on one side, Stuart Dallas is going to be there and he's going to pass to Click and he's going to pass to Hernandez and I'm going to put it in again. And if it goes out the other side from that, Costa's going to pick it up and
knackering.
He's going to pass it. Exactly. So we've got this great routine where we can just work teams to death, and hopefully we'll get a shot that way. And then when inevitably they will go, oh, come on, no, we've got Jared Bowen here. We've got to do something about this. We can just pick them off then. So there's not really, if you're an opposition manager, you sort of go like, well, do we defend deep with 10 in the box and we just try and withstand this ball that's coming into our box constantly for 90 minutes? Or do we try and have a go at them and risk them taking the piss on the counter-attack? You're fucked either way, because Leeds are going up.
Good to hear. I'm glad that's very
it's all
much,
sorted now.
Very much the case. And let's not forget, I mean, after the second goal, a couple of minutes later, about 5 minutes later, it was about 87 on the clock. Bamford should have scored as well with that ball that came over, that long-ranging cross, and he's going through the middle. He just touched, didn't quite, it let him down a bit, didn't it?
It was at the south stand end for me, so I couldn't really see how good a chance that was.
I saw it, the ball dropping between the goalkeeper and Bamford, and I was hoping he'd, you know, just Van Basten it straight in or something. But yeah, I couldn't see exactly how he messed that one up, the big fool.
It was, I think it's that difficult chance where obviously he's left footed and it's coming over his left shoulder as well from wide on the left hand side. So it's an incredibly hard chance to take.
It didn't look particularly well set up for him, but I had no particular axe to grind with him. And also we're 2-0 up at that point, so I was pretty happy.
Could really get used to this feeling of not having played the best game possible, but still won relatively comfortably.
I get the feeling we may see some of that again on Saturday against Cardiff. I think they're going to be quite Hull-ish. Who's their good player? Who's their Jared Bowen? Is it Pelletier? I assume it is. Gary Medine, perhaps. We'll probably have some of this as well, where there'll be periods of that game where we're all getting a bit, this is shit Leeds, when we're 4-0 up. But it's good. It's better than I think anybody thought we were going to be doing after those Swansea and Derby and Forest matches. So I'm glad, because I couldn't have put up with a season of doing that badly.
And I think every time we do this, where we grind out these wins, and let's not forget another clean sheet, and we should give a word to Kiko in a second as well. Another clean sheet. Confidence just grows with each passing game where we realise that we've got the goals in us and we're not going to concede, not many at all.
And we're doing clean sheets without a fixed team as well. You know, the run of games we've had to chop and change it quite a bit. I think a word for Calvin coming back in tonight as well, it made a big difference to us.
Yeah.
We looked a lot, I'm not sure we actually win that game tonight without Phillips in there.
And when you talk about chopping and changing, the fact that we had Ollie Casey coming on for his debut last week and then we had Pascal Strike, was that his league debut? Has he played a league game before?
I'm trying to remember that.
But he's certainly not been played many. And yeah, we're just, I don't know whether all the under-23s look alike to Marcelo Bielsa, and he's just like, names his team and we have Robbie Godsey will not play. Jack Clark, just to, you know, maybe upset Spurs, and just one of the defenders. Do you mind which one? No.
One of the big ones.
Yeah, one of the big defenders. Don't know why he started talking like that.
No, but it's nice, and I enjoy it. Yeah, Kiko then, he had a good game. And again, he doesn't have much to do, Kiko, but what he does do at the minute, he's doing really well.
He looks like a Real Madrid goalkeeper at the moment, doesn't he? Because all his saves against Huddersfield and then the two tonight are, it's not one of those where he's getting his body in behind the ball. He's putting out a hand to stop exactly where the ball is going, which is, I don't know how much goalkeeper training Michael has done, but I believe that's quite a difficult skill.
Something Bailey Peacock Farrell never quite grasped. The old diving before the ball's in the net. And outstretching your arms in such a way as to stop the ball going past them.
It's a combination of, it's not even, I don't think there were dives particularly. It's being really well positioned so that when the shot is made, he just knows where to put his hand out and block the ball.
You saw it at Huddersfield, you saw it again tonight. His positioning is fantastic.
And there was the two, so there was the one just before, the one that led to us scoring, which was brilliant. And then the one before that as well, when Grosicki got through or somebody got through and had a shot at him and he just hand up. Nope.
Some of his other stuff was good as well. Like, he came for a couple of crosses which he punched, which upset some people. But they were good punches. They went well clear of the box. They had good height on them so everyone could restructure themselves and get ready for another attack. And it's fine. It's weird. Everyone's like, catch it. Oh, no, but that's all right. It's fine.
There was the one that he punched and then the ball went up in the air in the penalty area and it sort of landed in the penalty area for a moment right next to his hand. And he didn't put his hand out onto it. From what I remember, everybody just seemed to be looking at it as if it was like an unexploded grenade. And at this moment, everyone's like, and then he just puts his out. I'll just have the ball. That's fine. The ball will be mine.
Ridiculously cool head. All right,
I was just going to say it. I don't know if it was picked up on the television, but when after the second goal was scored, a lot of our players went and celebrated with Kiko at that end of the pitch as well. And somebody tried to run onto the pitch to celebrate with him as well, although they seemed to submit to, it was a bit of a half-hearted pitch invasion, sort of ran into the penalty area and was like...
A wet Tuesday night pitch invasion.
They didn't know what to do really when they got there, did they?
But it was nice to
see this through!
It was nice to see the celebrations and appreciate that that Kiko had basically made that goal happen. Does he doesn't get an assist for that, but maybe he should.
Poor Alioski got no credit for it, did he?
It's like scoring the damn thing.
It was a nice finish. I mean, I didn't admittedly realise at the time that Bamford had tried to break the goalkeeper's neck, make an easier finish.
But how many times have we seen Alioski running onto a ball at the back post like that and it ends up, it's up the police station with his usual tactic. So it was great to see that go in the net. And that's 2-2 for Alioski. I bet you he doesn't start on Saturday.
No, but he's useful in that kind of relentless sort of Duracell Bonnie way, isn't he?
Yeah.
Heroes and villains is what I was going to say before. Who have we got from that game who's turned us on tonight?
The pre-match cat.
Yep.
It was a cat on the pitch before the game.
Nice nod to the Tigers.
Nice to see. Yeah, he didn't seem particularly interested in them. I think he's probably a Leeds fan. And Stewart came and ushered it off and then picked it up. And as I saw him carrying it down the service tunnel at the northwest corner of the cat, so it started fighting and I don't know if you've ever had a cat in your hands and it's fighting you. He started running as if he wanted to just basically throw it.
I was going to say, if only we still had animal handling specialist Habib Habibu, he could have slung it over the West Stand or something. It's by the tail.
Nice callback. Nice callback, that. Yeah, very good.
So that was nice.
I thought Costa was good tonight as well.
Helder Costa was very good tonight.
I like his runs infield he makes as well, because he causes a bit of confusion by doing that, because we've always got overlapping fullbacks on the go. So when he just picks it up wide and just runs right into the middle of the pitch, it creates a new thing. Which is just something we don't seem to have when other people are on the right wing. He's just quite happy to do that.
Yeah, he'll cut inside and then look at the far touchline, won't he? Yeah, or whatever, pass it across midfield. And
he didn't seem to have any problem with their fullbacks either, their defenders. He was just like, nah, I'll do what I want with these. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, he looks like he's kind of nicely settling in and his confidence is growing. I'll say that of him.
I think all the stuff that... I think we mentioned it on the Huddersfield match, that all the stuff that Bielsa has been teaching him, he's now having the opportunities to apply that in games. And so putting the two things together, it's like, okay, I've learned a lot and that's going to be really difficult to try and apply it. But now he's applying it and it's working.
Yeah, he's finding
and
the space.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck, this is great. Which must have been a feeling that a lot of the players had under Bielsa last year. But maybe in that half time in that Stoke game where they'd all been absolutely murdered for 6 weeks. And then they come in, what was it, 2-0 up or 2-1 up, and it's gone, fuck, this is really good actually, isn't it? So maybe he's getting that feeling.
Hope so. Other heroes and villains?
For villains, the ground of Elm Road for the did you hear the disgraceful sonic violence of the PA system that Norwich claimed was
Michael Bailey from the Norwich advertiser, now of the Athletic. We might have to get Phil to. Yeah.
Does that technically make him a colleague?
He's Phil's colleague.
Yeah, it did that thing again, didn't it? At 2 minutes. So
yeah.
And also, did you notice this? I don't think this is the case. It's hard to tell because Hull has four letters in it, but the scoreboard said Lead and Hull.
I didn't notice that.
I'm pretty sure it normally says Leeds.
It feels like a very niche complaint.
But it said Lead today. Just a little thing.
Would you have preferred Lee for three letters each?
Well, I thought if you're going to go four letters, you could go LUFC. Because the space is there for it as well. I don't know. I'll see you next game.
It looked like on Sky tonight you had Lee versus Hull, four letters.
Okay. So, well, if it's...
Minor typography gripes.
It might be Lead versus Card, unless they go with Diff.
Back to tonight.
Heroes, Kiko.
Yep.
We need to give him all the heroism we can before he's banned for being a daft racist. So well done for being a brilliant goalkeeper for now. But no, he was great, and he's probably played a big role in... Well, he has played a match-winning role today.
I think Bamford I'd like to nominate for that run as well, that run alone, doing the full length of the pitch and trying to behead the keeper.
Yeah, the two, when you put the two things together, I suppose, I've never seen Jackie Harrison two-foot a keeper in the face just so we can score. So I'm happy with that. And Berardi, as mentioned before, was a colossus this evening and deserves his credit for that.
And Phillips, just for playing again and making the difference. That whole centre of the team, we've basically gone through there. Just the middle of the team.
So are we saying here, Leeds United's team?
Leeds United's middle.
Very good.
Have we got any credit for Keith Stroud? Because he seems to have had a right old night over at Preston. I was watching at halftime the red cards that he'd given. The red card he gave to the Fulham player was hilarious, because he's almost, it's something you'd expect Berardi to do, to go running full pelt at somebody, run, and then just like give them a forearm smash in the face that everybody in the stadium can see. And I really enjoyed watching Keith Stroud kind of going, snivelling over to his linesman, going, oh, okay, no, everybody calm down now. Tell me, what did you see? It's like, well, he smacked him in the fucking face, Keith. What do you think we should do in your opinion? It's a fucking red card, you maniac. Send the bastard off.
and there's one actually that he didn't give.
I saw that as well.
Yeah, which he should have done.
Which was mad. And then it didn't look any different to the Preston player that he did send off, and it was Ben Pearson as well that he only gave a yellow card to, and Ben Pearson loves getting sent off, so I don't know what Stroud has been up to tonight, but it has contributed to Preston beating Fulham and to us being 11 points clear.
Which is great. And long may it continue. Mm-hmm. And we're all getting giddy. It's very late now. I think we should go get some rest, regroup, and go out again for Cardiff.
What are you expecting to happen when we go home? Are you thinking you're going to go to sleep?
No, I might.
No, because you're going to lie awake for the next 3 hours with, don't you know, pump it up, the what's going up, don't you know, pump it up. That, and me and Michael have been in the car, we're singing Gaetano, Barah. And then we don't know all the words.
We do. I'm going to... not go home. I'm going to go to Big Fellas in Ponty and demand they play Pump It Up for the entire evening.
All right, then we'll leave it there. We'll speak to you later on in the week on the Phil Hay Show, and we'll be back with a match ball after the Cardiff game as well.
Phil might be a bit more measured than us.
You should have seen him at the end of the game. He was shirt off, whipping it around his head.
All right, we'll speak to you in a bit. Cheers.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.